Good morning. Welcome each one that's here at the service. We appreciate the visitors. Our crowd is a little bit thin because of extracurricular activities that the church participates in yearly. That's the Do-Re-Mi singing school up in the country, as we call it. But we'll pray for their success, and I'm sure they're praying for ours as well. But while we're here, we'll show those whippersnappers how to sing. And so we'll do that with number 57. In this gray book, Favorite Gospel Songs, number 57, a number we all know by heart, I'll Fly Away. Good, good. All right, turn back toward the front a few pages to number 13. Number 13, He Touched Me.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Miss Rachel, for the good singing and playing today. Thank all of you for joining in and singing this morning. And as Brother Sam said, you're teaching them how to sing this morning, aren't you? You did a very good job of singing this morning. I always love that last song. Well, I like both of the songs thus far this morning. He Touched Me always reminds me of when the Lord touched my soul and He saved it. I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful to know that I am saved. But one of the great things about being saved is having an expectation of what is coming later. Heaven's Jubilee, isn't it? We are going to be able to enjoy the great Jubilee of heaven. I sometimes wonder if we really understand what's going to be going on in heaven. Truthfully, I don't think even our imagination can get that into get to a place where we understand it. But it's going to be a time of great jubilee. That's happiness. A great time of joy and just being so thankful to be in the glory of heaven. I think we'll have a hard time even understanding it in our minds here. And it'll be so amazing to us when we get there, because it'll be something that we're not used to. So it's going to be a wonderful thing for us just to be able to enjoy the jubilee and the joy of being in heaven. I hope everybody's had a good week. We're getting a little bit of shower rain, and that's something the Lord saw that we needed today. And just nothing else is going to keep the grass growing for our animals to eat, right? And so that some of us will get to enjoy the mowing of grass. I know Brother Colton is excited to have the grass mowed, along with others that are do that work. And we're just thankful for it coming as the Lord allows us this opportunity today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to make one quick announcement. We talked about this earlier. Paula noticed it just as soon as she got out of the car. There is a box back here on the back corner of the church house. It's a metal box. Don't be out there kicking it, kids, for one thing. And some of you older ones that would look at it, it's not a bomb. It is a piece of equipment from where that they're working over here next to us. They're going to be doing some blasting, and if there's any damage to the church or anything, that will prove where it came from. So we want to leave that thing alone, but so you won't think that it's a bomb or something that somebody left out there. When I first looked at it, I thought, a metal box like that? And I thought, what in the world? And I remembered Brother Sam and Brother Adam talking about it the other day, and the letter that we got from them, and I immediately got in my head what it was. But like I said, let's keep the kids from kicking it and doing anything to it, and also that'll help prevent the questions that might arise from it also. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We're glad to have our visitors with us, as we always are. We want everybody just to make themselves right at home, and let's come in and let's worship the Lord in spirit and truth today is what I want us to do. But before we get started, go any further in the service, we always have a children's church. Don't have a lot of kids with us today, so I need all the kids that will to come on up here and be a part. We'll meet right over here. I need even the big kids to come. Please, come on. I got Luke and Luke both coming. You want to sit with me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All of you come. You want to sit with me? Nah. You going, Pa? All right. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all today? Tired? Excited to be out of school? Yeah. I got a big yes out of that, so it's always good. Right quickly, we're going to talk a little bit about a feller in the Bible that was He was a good guy in a lot of ways, but he had his faults, like all of us. Are any of you, do you always do the right thing all the time? No, we don't, do we? This man was a very strong man. God promised him to his mother and daddy. He was kind of like John the Baptist in that he was that his parents were past childbearing age. But God promised them a child, a son. And the promise was that he would rescue the children of Israel from their enemy, the Philistines. This guy's name was Samson. Now, he had to be a Nazarite, is what the Bible called him. And one of the things that he was not supposed to do was cut his hair. And they said in that hair being long and never being cut, it would give him strength. Now, you have good long hair, and it's pretty like that. And I believe his was a beautiful head of hair, but really and truly, it was where the strength was given to God, by God to him. So when he would go out and he would fight battles. But there was times when Samson did not do the right thing. And basically what he did, he kind of got involved with a woman that he shouldn't have. See, God had commanded them to always never marry outside of the children of Israel. Now, there was a reason for that. That those people wouldn't lead their hearts away from God. So Samson saw this woman that was a Philistine woman, enemy, part of the enemy now, and he said, I want her for my wife. And he told his mom and daddy to arrange it. Well, it was against what God told him in the first place. So he went on. They were fixing to get married, and something happened, and I'm not going to go into all of that, but it ended up causing a great hurt to Samson. But it also brought a lot of victories for him also because of that. So these Philistine people, they did not like Samson because he would beat them up in battles and such. He would win wars against them. So they didn't like him, so they set up a woman that got his heart, woman that he loved, another woman. And what this woman did, they offered her a lot of money just to find out where his strength was. Well, the first thing that Samson did, should have done, was say, I'm not supposed to tell where it comes from. But you know what he did? He told her a lie. Now, are we ever supposed to lie? No. But he told her a lie, and he says, if you do this, I'll be just like anybody else. Well, when she said, she tied him up, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, he went out just like he had, and he whooped a bunch of people. The next thing he did, she said, if you tie the locks of my hair up in a knot, he says, I'll be just like anybody else. Well, she tied his hair up in knots while he was asleep, and she said, the Philistines are on you. He went out just like he had before. He was still strong. See, he lied twice. Did God approve of that? No. What God wanted him to do was what God had said. And that was to never tell where his strength lied in. You see, the third time this woman came to him again. And always be careful of people who just keep coming to you and wanting you to sin against God. They may want you to take a drug. They may want you to take a drink. They may want you to do things that's not what you've been taught to do. And if they just keep coming after you like that, you better get away from them. You see, the third time, he fessed up. He confessed that the strength was in his hair and that if he cut his hair, that he'd lose his strength. You know what she did? She caused him to go to sleep in her lap, and she caused a man to come up there and cut his hair. You know what they did? When he went out to shake himself and to go into battle, he had no strength. Not because his hair was cut, but really because he disobeyed God. Now, one more quick part of this, and I'll be quiet. Even though we do wrong, God does not forsake us. When Samson, in his time, they had put his eyes out. They had caused him to be blind. And they had put him to work. And there came a time when they was going to make fun of him and God in their temple. The Philistines were. You see, Samson prayed to God there. And he said, God, just one more time, give me strength that I may avenge my eyes and avenge your cause. And he bowed himself and he destroyed the temple by pushing on the pillars. He died there in that place. But he avenged the loss and he caused the people that were mocking God to suffer. Always remember, God has mercy on us even when we disobey. Okay? I'll turn you loose. Thank you for coming. Thankful for our young ones that come up for the children's church. I'll say this again. I appreciate the children's church. And as I've said before, if somebody has a thought for children's church and you would like to do a children's church, I'm always open for volunteers. And the reason why is that the church's strength is in the more people that do things, the more strength that goes out to everyone. You may just tell a Bible story or something like that to them. The children will get it personally for them. Good to see everybody today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? Lord, help you. Lord, help. Bless you, Brother Tim. I didn't know about that. You hadn't told us about that, and I understand that. But let's be prayerful for Brother Tim and his blood pressure and his medicines, that it'll be able to do better with that. Somebody else have a prayer request? We had several prayer requests this morning in our Sunday school. I'm going to mention four preacher friends of mine. I only mentioned three while ago, but Brother Benny Maggart, we've been praying for him. Brother Rick Jones, he's been in terrible shape over the last few months. And I mentioned this today, Brother Rick Huff, Brother Ricky Huff. They found him with cancer this week. And I got a message earlier from Brother Haley, Brother Doug Haley. He pastors up in Kentucky. He's a preacher friend of mine. He had back surgery 2 weeks ago, and he fell in the shower this morning. And his revival starts tonight at his church. So be prayerful for him. So I from what I understand, he's in a lot of pain this morning. And from that fall, but do remember him in your prayers. And he said, especially remember the lost in their revival. So keep those things in mind. We have our usuals that we should remember. Brother Sonny is not in good shape. Sister Linda's taking care of him. Brother Slick, we need to remember he and Miss Barbara. Brother Lowell needs our prayers. He is home, so let's do remember them. Sister Kendra's been sick. The West, Sister Annette and Brother Roger have been sick. We need to remember them. Sister Tammy's been sick, too, also. Sister Joan's mother. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to leave somebody out here, I'm sure, and I'm going to get in trouble. But let's do remember all of our sick ones that are there. But We need to especially remember those that are sin sick. They're caught up in the sin of life. The sin of Adam is what I'll call it, the disobedience to God, to believe Him. Let's remember them in our prayers. As it's been mentioned in our Sunday school, revival is just a little more than a month away. We have vacation Bible school 2 weeks before that. There'll be people here that needs to get saved. We need to be praying for them. Let's do the work of the Lord and let's show them the way unto the Lord. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Go ahead. Yeah, Miss Marietta. Yeah, I think she was going to visit, I believe, the decoration where her husband's buried today. But let's do remember Sister Barbara in her prayers. Somebody else. As I said, we're glad to see each and every one here today. Let's all come together and let's pray one for another and let's remember these requests in our prayers today. Our crowd is light because of Do-Re-Mi, mainly. A lot of our kids are already being checked in up there. A lot of our people work up there for this school. Let's remember it. There's usually at least one or two that get saved, and there's been times, there's been five and six and seven get saved during this two-week period where kids get close to the Lord. So do remember that. Remember the preachers that will be doing devotionals and preaching up there during this coming week. Let's be prayerful for them that they'll have that opportunity to stand for the Lord there. Anybody else have a prayer request? We'll call on one to start a prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Josh, would you lead us in our prayers today?
Thank you. You may be seated. I don't believe that I mentioned a while ago that we appreciate each visitor that's here. And thank you for coming, and you have honored us with your presence, and we hope you get a blessing. Let's continue our song service with number 53. Number 53. the front of the book to number 4. Number 4. Unless there's other direction, we'll finish up with one of my favorite songs, number 72. Number 72. Just a little. Do-do-do-do-do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Rachel. Thank you back here in the back. Thank all of you for the good singing this morning. Enjoyed that last song. I'm like Brother Sam. Now, that's one of my favorite songs that I like to hear sung. I guess probably my favorite time of it being sung, Brother Jackie Dillahay and myself were holding a revival meeting in an old church building. And it was a building that basically it would ring. And Brother Jackie's wife, Sister Christie, many of you know her. She has a beautiful alto voice, and she would hit those notes along with Sister Janice Gregory and the other ladies that would sing alto, and it would ring in that building, and it was just beautiful to hear. And I really came to love that song when they would sing it there there in that old building. Had some good times in that place. And it was a blessing to be able to hold meetings in there and see people come together and just worship the Lord. How many of you would like to see that today? That's something we need, don't we? We need to strive for those times in which that we truly worship the Lord, and I hope we'll do that today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning before we get to go any further in the service? Word of testimony or anything? Let's always follow the Lord. We're glad to see each and every one of you here today. Glad to have our visitors with us today, and I hope and pray that God will bless each and every one that's here today. There's a lot of revivals that are starting up tonight and been going on. Let's remember them in our prayers. We're going to take a reading lesson today from the first chapter of Romans. First chapter of Romans. And I ask that you be prayerful for this message, that it'll be what it needs to be. We want to follow God always in this in our messages, and so you pray for me today. Out of the first chapter of the book of Romans, we're going to start a reading lesson with verse 15. Verse 15. Paul says, "So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed unto from heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That's our reading lesson, verses 15 through 18, here of the first chapter of Romans. And so we ask that you pray for us today. You see Paul's desire here to the Roman people as he was writing. He had not yet went into Rome at this time. I believe he was probably on his way. Probably written about the same time in which that he was jailed for preaching the gospel and the Jews wanting him dead. And he made a plea unto Caesar. In other words, he wanted to go to Caesar and talk to him about what was going on there in Jerusalem and how that the priests, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees were wanting to have his life taken from him. And so in order to get to Rome at this time, the quickest way was to appeal to Caesar. Now, there was many pitfalls in between that time and before that he got to get to Rome and to preach to Caesar, and really even to preach to the early church at this time that was there at Rome. But he has a desire to preach the gospel. It's what the scripture says to them. But you'll notice in this 17th verse, he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." I think if we start to look at God, we start to see that we see his righteousness. That his righteousness is far greater than anyone that is here upon this earth today. Actually, there's only been one that really showed the full righteousness of God, and that was Jesus, his son, who came and lived here and lived a sinless life for us. But he says, in this gospel is that righteousness revealed. Now, many people says today that the gospel is the birth, the life, and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I believe it's even entitled, it has to do with the full doctrine that he preached while he was here on the earth. You see, Jesus, when he was preaching unto the people there in Jerusalem and in Israel, he was preaching what had been taught him by God himself. The people had been taught this doctrine, I believe, even as far back as Abraham, and really you could even go back to Adam himself, how God had preached his doctrine to these people, and it was handed down throughout all the ages. And when that had been handed down, there came a period in time where the children of Israel changed the doctrine, is basically what they did. They changed the doctrine into a doctrine of, basically it was about works and keeping the Mosaic law and living the very best that they possibly could. And like so many today, they changed it just a little bit to where that they thought they could match that perfection that they thought they needed to get to heaven. But if you change what God has handed down, it's not what God handed down. Even if you change it one little bit. So Paul says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Anybody that is saved is going to be saved by faith. It is the faith that the individual puts forth towards God that God will save them, but it comes through the faith of the preaching of the gospel, the doctrine of the Lord. That's the faith to faith that is involved there. Now, our main message here today is going to be out of the 18th verse, where it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, I'm going to stop right there as far as any kind of reading there in this chapter here. But if you go ahead and read the remainder of this chapter, you're going to see the unrighteousness of mankind here in the world at that time. Truthfully, you can say it's the same unrighteousness that is here in our day today. You can go down through these verses and you'll see the sins that we see on the news, that we see on TVs, on our phones, or wherever they might be. But the last four verses, it really talks about these particular things that is going to bring about the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Now, how do you describe or how do you define what wrath is? Most people will say wrath is an anger that God has, and it is. But it's more than just a slight anger or being mad at some way, in some way like that. Wrath is that anger being so inflated that it strikes out, that it's going to cause something to have to pay. I remember years ago when I was a young guy, not even a preacher, but I was sitting on my car one night at a drive-in was what was at. I carried a girl there, and she had left me for an old boyfriend. So I was already in a good mood. I'll put it that way. After a while, I noticed a guy walking out towards the concession stand, which my car was in line there. I was already mad, like I said, because of what that girl had done. It wasn't her, by the way. But the fact that what happened, I turned around a little bit later. I was sitting on the hood of the car. You know how we used to do that. I was sitting on the hood of the car, and I looked around, and this guy had his head stuck in my car. No permission, nothing. And I slid off that car in my anger, and I didn't hit him or nothing like that, but he knew I was angry, and I would have to say it was a type of wrath that came out of me in that moment. It was not pretty, I'll say that. But I got my point across to them. You see, in the gospel, we have the wrath of God is revealed also with his righteousness. In the Bible, we start to see different things that comes up in the lifetime of mankind that has brought about what we would consider God's wrath upon people. Now, what I want to talk about today as much as anything is those things that causes God's wrath to come upon people or individuals or mankind in this way. I think probably the very best examples that there are is in the children of Israel. After that, they had left Egypt. They'd been delivered out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. And then they got up there to Mount Zion, up there to the mountain. And God had given them the laws that they should live by, that they should govern each other by. And God gave them these things. And yet, they started turning away from God. In the book of Nehemiah, it puts one verse puts it into a place where it's easy to understand. He says in the 16th verse, he says, "And they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments." You see, they became a stiff-necked people, in other words. They hardened themselves against God to where that they would not even obey the day-to-day laws that were there. We have people today that are out here on our highways that are breaking the laws every day, right? They break laws of the United States in their homes, in their schools, at their workplaces. They say, well, it doesn't apply to me. They're not going to catch me in this that I'm doing wrong. So they dealt proudly against God. And that is one of the great things that causes much wrath of God is the pride of individuals. Individuals thinking that they are higher than God, that they're maybe smarter than God or wiser than God in some ways. And most of us would probably say, we're not that kind of a person. I don't consider myself doing that. But if you're seeing what God has said is sin, and you're saying it doesn't apply to me, then pride has come into play. You have stiffened your neck against this. and what the scripture said, and they refused to obey. This is verse 17. They refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders, and thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. You see, individuals today that are caught up in sin, they may not, what you'd say, appoint a captain to lead them there, but people will follow people into sin, won't they? They'll follow them and take that example. I think Isaac is a good example of following a bad example. When Abram was in Egypt, he went down to a certain place and he looked at Sarah and he said, "You're a beautiful woman. They're going to kill me for you." He said, "You tell them I'm your brother, then they won't kill me." So what they do, they took Sarah, they were fixing to marry her off to one of the Egyptians, and God's plan would have been put in danger, wouldn't it? So you say, I said a while ago, we follow an example of individuals. What Isaac did when his wife was Rebekah was with him, he went into another place, and he did the very same thing. He said, "You tell them I'm your brother. Thus they will not kill me," he said. Now, the idea is what people refuse to do is to obey the Lord here today. This causes the wrath of God to come upon them. When people are falling after sin, falling after those that are sinful in their lives, it is important for us to understand one thing here. And you'll find it at the rest of this verse. "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." You see, even though that the children of Israel did not obey God in his law, God did not forsake them. He stayed right there with them. But he was merciful unto them, understanding that they were but flesh. You know, many people today will say, "I'm just too bad to get saved. I've got some brethren that go to the prisons and they preach the gospel, and they'll tell about someone from time to time that will say, "Well, I've just done way too many things that I cannot be saved." We understand that Paul himself, he persecuted the church. He caused people to be put to death. He was the one that they laid the clothes at when Stephen, the man of God, was preaching unto them. When they were stoning him, they laid their clothes. He was consenting unto this death. He may have not picked up a stone. I don't know if he did or not. It doesn't say. But he was there and could have stopped them. He was part of this. You see, even in our sin, when God's wrath is coming, he is going to have mercy upon us if we will turn unto him. Now, in the book of Proverbs, the scriptures here, we understand that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and what Proverbs is his sayings and his wisdom. And in his wisdom, he understood some things about the wrath of God. He says in the 24th verse of the first chapter of Proverbs, he makes a statement here. Remember, our thought today is trying to show you what brings about the wrath of God. And what he says in this 24th verse of the first chapter, "Because I have called and ye refused," he said, "I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Do you realize that when God gives you an opportunity to be saved, you're refusing Him? Now, I think every one of us at one time or another has gone through something where we have been refused by somebody. Maybe it was for us older ones, maybe it was a job. For the younger ones, it may have been a boy or girl that you were sweet on, that you thought would be perfect for your husband or wife. But they refused you. That hurts, doesn't it? But let's think about us refusing God. What Solomon was saying to us in that verse, he says, I have called and ye have refused me. Think about how that made you feel, and then think, why should God feel any different about it yourself? You refuse God. I think about many times when we sit in congregations and God is, by His Holy Spirit, is impressing upon us to do something for Him. Maybe it's to join the church. Maybe it's something to testify. Maybe it's just to even request a prayer for somebody. And we refuse to do it. My friends, today, remember to know to do good. This is in the Bible. It says to know to do good and to do it not. To him, that is sin. That's sin. So if God is calling upon us and we understand that He will have mercy upon us as sinners in His sight, if we refuse Him, that is sin. So this is something else that brings about the wrath of God. Now, if you go over a few chapters into verse 16, let's move just a little bit further, quickly to something else here. And he says in verse 5, he said, but everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Now, I know I talked about just a little bit out of Nehemiah about the pride. Do you remember in the 6th chapter of Proverbs where Solomon wrote 7 things that God hates? Now, hate's a strong word, right? Yes, God, our loving God that the world talks about so much, saying He is a loving God, He is a merciful God, but yet God hates. Whoa, that sounds different, don't it? God hates a proud look, is what he says there in the 6th chapter. But he says here, everyone that is of a proud heart is an abomination. And what an abomination means is something that is truthfully so filthy, so nasty, so horrible in its way. And I'm not even touching what an abomination. It is something so terrible in God's eyes that it becomes an abomination to Him. How often do we have a proud look upon ourselves? Maybe we think that somebody is not as good as us, that they should be able to hear the gospel, that they should be able to hear our testimony, that they should be able to hear that God loves them, that Jesus died for their sin. Why did we not tell them these things? There's an old song that kind of goes like this, and I'll probably get the words wrong. Brother Sam can correct me later because he probably knows it by heart. Said, why did you not mention him to me? In the day that we get down to the end of life, will there be individuals that will look upon us and look and say, why didn't you mention that you were saved? Why didn't you mention Jesus to me? Why did you not think that I needed to hear about His love, about His mercy? Why didn't you mention to Him? A lot of times it comes back to pride, doesn't it? A lot of the time it comes back to our pride saying, well, I'm just not good at that. I can't say those things. You might say, well, that's not pride. Better think again. Because in your pride, you're saying, I don't want to mess up. In your pride, I don't want to look bad. In your pride, I may say the wrong thing, so it may not work just as right. That's pride, right? Am I wrong? You see, God hating a proud look, seeing it as an abomination. You see, in that 16th, going back there, I didn't finish up that verse. Notice what it says in the rest of this verse. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Now, you might say, hand in hand. Well, it kind of relates to this. If two walk down the road hand in hand, you consider them to be joined together, wouldn't you? You consider them to have the same mindset. They've got something on their hearts. When you walk into a place, Paul will reach over to me. Occasionally, I reach over to her also, and I'll take her by the hand, and we'll walk into a place. Sometimes I get the privilege of walking into Walmart or walking out, and I'll see a couple, maybe elder, a lot older than I am, and they'll have hand in hand, and you'll see the love between the two of them in that is what I consider of that. They walk together in unison is the idea. So though you walk hand in hand with God in pride, think about it now. If you're in pride and it's an abomination to God, you're still going to be punished. You see, it stirs up the wrath of God, doesn't it? His anger is brought up against us when we go through these things. Now, right quickly, I want you to take it to those that are unsaved. I had thought this message would go mainly to those that were unsaved, but it hadn't worked that way today. But to those that are unsaved, what stirs up God's wrath more than anything else? Being disobedient, yes. Being one that does not pay attention to the gospel is something that stirs up God's wrath. But if you look at the third chapter of John, in the very last verse there, in verse 36, he says, I believe this is the words of John the Baptist. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Sinner, you're not excluded from this. You will suffer the wrath of God is what you're going to do. If you leave this life not believing on the Son of God, you will suffer the wrath of God. I'm not going to get in to what it is. I wish I could, but we don't have time for that today. But let's go to the second chapter of Romans, if you would, and we'll finish up right here right quickly today. In the second chapter of Romans, in the third verse, it says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same? Stop. Remember what I said in the first chapter? That once you get past verse 18, that it starts to list different sins that are bringing about the wrath of God that is preached about in the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul was preaching to them about. He tells all of these things, you know, that things like deceit and haters of God and despisers, proud, blasphemers, those things, boasters, these things. He said, you that are talking about these things, and you judge them in this way, he says, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Sometimes we as people today on this earth, we despise the longsuffering of God. We shouldn't. Sometimes we despise his riches that he has given us. Mainly this is for those that are sinners. He said, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You see, all of the troubles and trials that you as a sinner are having, it is God calling you to repentance. And what he says in verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of the Lord. I don't think I read that right. Unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God is what it actually says. Think about this. This unbelief, this pride, this unruliness that you have, not going with what God has said, is going to stir up the wrath of God. It's already stirred up, to be honest with you. But notice what he says, verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. You see, those things, this wrath that we're talking about of God that is coming upon each and every one of us that have failed the Lord, that have not heeded to his ways, God's wrath is going to be kindled against us. Wait a minute. Let me get this in. I thought you said we were saved. We was going to heaven. Yes, sir, we are. But Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is where you'll find it. He says, there is a day of judgment coming. And it's coming to us that are saved. So that the things which we have done in the flesh, some of them will be burned up by fire, is what the scripture says. The soul's going to be saved. But there's coming a judgment upon us too. Now, I remember as a young preacher, there was a man who made this statement. He said, I believe it's going to be like a big drive-in movie. That was the biggest screen we could have back then. And he said, we'll stand there and our lives going to be run before God and everybody else. He said, I think I'd be ashamed for everybody to see what's happened. I don't think everybody's going to be worried about my sin. But I'm going to be worried about what God thinks about my failures, my sins, my pride at times, my unbelief at times. God's going to be judging us, and we need to be thinking about that. Do we really want to stir up the wrath of God against us today? Is our heart's thought for you today? Have we stirred up his wrath? While we stand and sing today, let us all be prayerful. If you're a sinner and you know that you're in danger of the wrath of God as far as hellfire is concerned, I'm not talking about just the judgment. I'm talking about going into a devil's hell. You need to get prepared today, for that wrath of God will come upon you and it'll be strong against you for your unbelief. While we stand and sing today, let us all be prayerful as we sing about our lives being what God would have it to be. While we stand and sing.
227. 227.